Welcome and thank you for listening to this message from Legacy Church New Braunfels. To connect with us, go to legacynb.com. Now enjoy this message from Pastor Jay Miller.
If you have your Bibles with you, I want you to open up the one passage of Scripture. Wasn't worship good this morning? Man. I just felt like the Lord was like on the edge going, all right, I'm ready for breakthrough. You know, he's like, I'm ready for my people to have breakthrough. If they're ready, they'll wake up and realize it's time for breakthrough. You don't have to be a prophet to be able to talk about spring forward for today and know that it's a prophetic sign and a symbol of the time that God is springing us forward into the momentum of what he's doing for transformation, right? Like, we've talked about acceleration. There's been lots of prophetic words over these last 3, 4, 5 years about the acceleration of the kingdom, the accelerating the timelines. But it's time to stop talking about there's going to be an acceleration and have to realize we're in the acceleration. Amen? Okay, you guys got it over here. Do y'all know you're in the acceleration? Like to this point of acceleration, you're like, you know, the hair's going back. You've got the momentum acceleration, right? This is what the Lord is doing. This is one of the reasons I'd love to be able to fly off an aircraft carrier, just to get that adrenaline of that acceleration, you know, of taking off. This is what the Lord is doing. He's taken us to a place where what was once normal for us will no longer satisfy. It will actually become a place of dissatisfaction. The land that you actually occupied up to this place that was a good place. You were good with the Lord. And hear me on this. He's not mad at us. He's just saying, I'm ready for more. Are you ready for more? In fact, because he loves you so much, he wants to bring the more to you. And he's going to make you uncomfortable in times because he knows you have to bring you out of the place of your comfort in order to be able to move you into the place of his acceleration. In fact, our comfort is not his comfort. His definition of comfort is different than our human comfort. Sometimes comfort to us is what I'm comfortable with. It doesn't stretch me. It doesn't mess with me, right? I can just be okay in this little zone. If you don't come into my zone, I'm comfortable. And the Lord's like, no. My comfort is this. I'm going to accelerate you, and you're going to be like, what in the world's happening? And then the peace of God comes and says, oh, it's okay. You hear what I'm saying? Like there's a scientific term called no inertia. You know what inertia is? Inertia is that you can feel from, because we're on a gravity planet, when you begin to accelerate, you feel the inertia. You push back into this thing. Your body, this is why pilots have to wear G suits. So it pushes the blood back to the extremities. This is why when they go super duper fast, they'll pass out because all the blood will come out of their head and then push down to the core. So they have to wear a suit that keeps it going to the extremity. That's the G-force is inertia. And I feel like the Lord's doing this. He wants to bring you to a place when you know his comfort, when you know his peace, and specifically you know his promises, there will be no inertia, meaning this. You could accelerate 0 to 1,000 in half a second and you won't feel it. Right? We're seated with him in heavenly places. The only place that gravity has a place of influence is on the first heaven, the earth. But we're called to live from the third heaven where there is no gravity. Do you understand that gravity is an earthly creation? He's going to move you and accelerate you. But the key to this is kind of what we talked about last week with Nehemiah, moving into a place of promises, stewarding promises. And so I just really want to focus in today out of this Hebrews chapter 10 verse. And specifically, we're going to look at verse 23. And I'm going to read out of the Amplified Version. And as I begin to read this, the question I have for you is, what do you really believe about Jesus to it? Or is it time to let go of something so you can grab a hold of what Jesus holds on to? Seize and hold. Let me hear you say seize. Seize is a very violent action. It's a very decisive action. It's not a very gentle, I'm going to grasp, I'm going to reach out. We need to take politeness out of the equation, and you need to seize it. You need to grab it. Grab a hold of something is what this is talking about. Seize and hold tightly the confession. Let me hear you say the confession. Let me hear you say that's the overflow of my heart. My mouth speaks. So what's in your heart is what we got to deal with, right? Let us seize and hold tightly the confession of our hope without wavering. Let me hear you say without wavering. Without wavering is resolute, unbending, unyielding, firm. Why do we do this? For he who promised is reliable and trustworthy and faithful to his word. For he who promised is reliable and trustworthy. We have to begin to be resolute in the hope and this confession. We have to turn. It's not just the things I think up here. Thoughts reside in your mind, but beliefs reside in your heart. It's time from this place of your heart to deal with what do you really believe about Jesus? And what are you confessing as hope because of what you believe inside of your hope? Hope is not wishful thinking. It's the confident expectation that God is who he says he is, that he does what he says he's going to do. And therefore, when he says things about you, he means it. He is resolute on what he believes. I was with Bill Vanderbush this week on my School for Kingdom Advancement, and our students, we do some biweekly Zooms with kingdom leaders. And Bill talked about belief is like this. Belief is not me trying to go after something. Belief is hearing what Jesus believes and me going, okay, I surrender. It's true. I don't have to do something to make my belief come up. I just look at what Jesus says. And he says, will you trust me with X, Y, Z? And I go, okay. This is what resolutely seizing hold of this aspect of. And what we have to make sure is this, what do I have in my heart that is contrary to the belief system of Jesus? And I need to expel it as quick as I can. I need to bring it out and go, this is no longer what I'm going to seize and hold firmly to. Confessions is very important. The truth of God is very, very important. This is why we have to have, when the Bible becomes a rhema word to us, you know the difference between a rhema word and a logos word. Logos is the written word. It's what's already come. It's the preceding word. But Jesus said this, man doesn't live by bread alone. He doesn't live by logos alone, but it lives by every word, every rhema word that proceeds from the mouth of God. The preceding word must become a proceeding word to us. And that's what we seize. That's what we hold true to. When I begin to realize I'm in this area and there's a doubt inside of my heart. In that moment, I have to confront it with, but what do I believe about who he is? How many people in this room have prayed for a breakthrough in an area and it took a while to get there? But in the middle of it, what were you doing? You had to seize and hold fast to the confession that it's already finished. That's not wishful thinking. That's called faith. By the way, faith is not even something that generates from inside of you. Faith is a gift that he gives you. It's the faith of Jesus that comes inside of us. But what's interesting about this is, again, faith is presented to you by Jesus, and either you seize it or you don't. Either you believe it down deep or you don't. And the key on this is that I turn it into a confession. See, I grew up in a tradition, and I love the tradition I grew up in because the liturgy, the organization to the Mass was important to me because it gave me some structure to have a foundation and some safe guardrails that I could begin to move into. But one of the challenges I have in it is that it's very focused on I sin, and I've got to go to confession on an ongoing basis and turning confession purely from because of the place of sinful behavior or sinful thoughts. And certainly, confession includes confess your sins one to another, and he's faithful to forgive you. He's faithful to heal you. But confession was not for sin alone. I would propose to you that when he created Adam and Eve in the garden and he brought them into a relationship, remember, sin had not entered into the world. They were in a breath-to-breath relationship with God. The rhema word of God walking with them, the pre-incarnate Christ walking with them. And they're having this life exchange and they said what they heard him say. How did Adam know what to name the animals? Because he was made in the image of God. He carried the heart of God, and he confessed the heart that was within him. The moment Adam and Eve sinned, what happened? The heart of the Father, their heart became sinful, and all they could confess was sin. And the overflow of their heart, mouth, and death, and everything else followed afterwards. But we're born again which means this: the old has passed, the new has come. We're a brand new creation, brand new in DNA. Jesus is in you, you're in Jesus, and that means the heart of the Father now resides inside of you. The living Word of God that became flesh resides inside of you, and what I do is I seize hold and control of that Word, and it begins to overflow from my heart, and I begin to make declarations. Jesus made confessions. He made declarations. Confession's just the declaration. Confession is, and I committed a crime, and now I need to spill the beans. Confession is telling the truth. A confession that doesn't tell the truth is not a real confession. It's a lie. It's a story. It's made up. But when we come into this place and say, wait a minute, what am I confessing? Fast to it. And by the way, it's not a death grip like the ship is going down. Like you're on the deck of the Titanic and it's turned upside down and you're like, oh crap, this is going to stink. And you're holding on to the rail because the ship's going down. How many people realize there's a lot of Christians on planet Earth that are thinking like they're on the sinking deck of the Titanic and they're waiting for the rapture to come and rescue them out of the hell they're about to descend into? And Jesus is going like, come on, guys. I walked on the water. You ain't got to worry about it. What are you confessing? What are you holding true to? Wait a minute. It's going to get better. It's going to get light. I might see death right here, but I have the words to confess the resurrection of Jesus. You might have cancer, but I have the word to confess healing and wholeness in Jesus' name. Why? Because he paid for it. He is the confession of the Father. Let me hear you say, Jesus is the confession of the Father. Flesh. Whose word? The Father's word. Became flesh. The expression, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I would say, and if you've seen me and seen the Father and you've heard me speak, you've heard the confession of the Father's heart. So what do you seize and hold true to? Galatians 2:20, one of my favorite verses in all of the New Testament. I'm going to read out of the King James Version just because I like the way it actually translates it correctly. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, hear this, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Let me hear you say, by the faith. If you've been at Legacy, you've heard me preach this 1,000 times. Why? Because it's such a core value to freedom. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Look what it says in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 6. But Christ is faithful as a son over his Father's house. We are his in our hope in Christ. Christ is faithful as a son over his Father's house, and we are his house if we hold fast our confidence and our sense of triumph in our hope in Christ. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 through 16. Seeing that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points tempted as we are tempted, yet was without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of our need. Hold fast, hold true. What are you holding on to? See, God is wanting to do something different than we've ever seen done on the planet before, because the group of people that reside on the planet have never resided on the planet before. So therefore, it's going to be a new thing. Do I agree with all the prophetic words that said he's doing something new, get ready, it's not going to look like anything you've ever seen before? 100%. But why is it going to be something we've never seen before? Because we've never seen it before. And this group of people's never been on the planet before, and he's residing inside of you to bring the expression of the Father's heart to the planet. The planet's never seen you on the planet before as an expression of the Father's heart. And it's groaning. All of creation is growing for the revelation of the sons of God. The problem is we turn that into the super class of spirituality, saying, oh, it's the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, pastors, and teachers, the ones on the platform. They're the ones that are the saints or the sons that are being revealed, and creation is groaning for them. No, this The fivefold ministry equips you. We're at the bottom of the heap. To elevate you to become the expression of the sons and daughters of God that creation is groaning for. But you've got to believe you're a son or your daughter. You got to deal with this orphan thing inside of your heart. You have to deal with a poverty mindset and say, no, I have all I need in Christ. You have to deal with this thing is, if I'm going through an illness or an injury, it's not because God's trying to teach me a lesson. He will use you in that thing in the middle of it, and he will grow you, obviously. But imagine Lazarus dies thinking, where did my good friend Jesus come? He could have rescued me from this. And he dies. And all of a sudden he hears that voice, Lazarus, come out of that grave. What I'm saying is this, death can't hold him. Death can't hold his confession back. So what if you die? So what? You just weren't born again. You were part of a mass, well, somebody said last, Dana said last night, you're part of a mass murder. Died with Christ so that all might rise with Christ. Confession time. What are you holding true to? What do you believe? Hebrews 3:14, for if we are faithful to the end, trusting God just as firmly as when we first believed, we will share in all that belongs to Christ. Number two, the confession of your hope, this confident expectation of his goodness. So what are you confessing? Is it a confession of Jesus? Has the Bible become a rhema word to you, daily bread today? And so what you do is you enter into this place and say, Holy Spirit, you breathe this out, breathe on me. So that it becomes like this. He goes, Yahweh, Yahweh. And I go, some of you might have come from a background where you did a for a different reason and you got revelation. It's false revelation. You went to trances, you went to stuff like this. And all I'm telling you is it's only a counterfeit what God wants you to do. He wants you to breathe in the breath of God. He wants to take you into, like, pot's okay? No, not at all. Not at all. I'm just saying, has the word become a rhema word to you? What about your prophetic words? What has God spoken to you about you? Have you treated your prophetic word as a rhema word that's talking to you about your identity and your destiny? Have you learned to actually process it from a place of saying, this is the Father's heart for me, who I am and who he designed me to be? Do you go over and you review it and say, God, reveal this to me. Grow me in this area. How do I steward this? How do I process this? How do I partner with you in the prophetic word? We're a prophetic house. Our elders, we've been spending the last several weeks talking about different things where we're going back over our prophetic words as it relates to the building, as it relates to our mission and purpose and value, as it relates to the season that we're in. We're going back over the prophetic words over this house. Why? Because God has about the region and our role in the region. And the responsibility is we've got to seize it, hold fast to it, partner with it, and then the confession of the Father becomes the confession of our mouth. This is what God is doing in this region. He's bringing transformation. He's raising sons and daughters to become fathers and mothers. He's healing all diseases. He's driving out every demonic spirit. New Braunfels will be a city on a hill. Because it's in the Father's heart. We're embracing it as a team. And my question is this. It's just as good for you. We were at a prophetic conference this week, and I love what Dano and Bethany talk about is that prophetic ministry restores dignity back to the people of God. There was a season and a time where the people of God in Israel were invited by God to come and have a personal face-to-face encounter with them. They're brought out of Egypt. Y'all remember the story. God says, bring the people up so that I might be their God and I might... And they go, he's freaky scary. Moses, you go to him. Why? Because they wanted to remain in their comfort zone. And therefore, they missed out on the direct revelation that God wanted to give their heart. So therefore, they had to have a mediator named Moses and a mediator called the law in order to relate with who God is. And then all of a sudden, years later, Jesus, the word that became flesh, the confession of the Father became flesh, and suddenly the Father speaks again. This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. Publicly restoring back the voice of the Father to the corporate humanity. You're my people. I'm coming back to you. Do you understand that God wants to speak to you? The prophets are not the super spiritual people that only get the words. Open the ears of the blind to hear and see and know what the Father's doing and comprehend with the Father so that a son and a daughter might know what their Father's saying. A couple different times in Scripture it says this, Israel was familiar with his deeds, but Moses was familiar with his ways. His ways are his heart. Israel could tell you, yeah, God, he parted the Red Seas. He brought a bunch of plagues to Egypt. He split a rock in the desert place so we had water. He sent quail and he sent manna from heaven. He did all these things. And they boil the relationship with God down to what God does for them instead of who he is to them. The law will always boil it down to what you can do for God in order to relate with him. Instead of the new covenant is this. God relates with you and draws you into a place of just know me. Just know my ways. Know my heart. Your prophetic words are important. So I'm going to challenge you this, Legacy Church. If you don't have a prophetic word, team, Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me? You know what a prophetic team will do? They'll make declarations that will resonate inside of your heart because this is what God's already been confessing about you. They'll become a forth-telling word that all of a sudden there's a grace on the prophetic word as somebody else says it that activates a grace for you to step into that word. But you've got to take responsibility. Here's the reason I think that we don't often move into our prophetic words. We separate ourselves from responsibility for the prophetic word because we say, somebody else told me. So maybe it's true, maybe it's not. Maybe I don't have to do anything with it. Maybe I'll own it. And when it gets difficult, I'll go, nah, that wasn't from God. But when I hear in my heart God speaking directly to me, now I have responsibility. And what I would tell you is you do need to treat prophetic ministry as God, the rhema word, the living word, the breath word coming out to you. Review it, hold fast to it, seize it. And I'll tell you this, we're going to be working on prophetic processing teams to help you process your words and walk it out. But I'm just telling you right now, you have to own it. The season we're in, it's not just how well do you know the ABCs of the Bible. It's how well do you know the heart of the Father and what's he calling to shift inside of you. Number three is without wavering. Let me hear you say resolute. You've got to deal with all doubt. Move all in. John chapter 20, verse 25. So the other disciples kept telling him, we have seen the Lord, talking about Thomas. But Thomas said to them, if I don't see the mark of the nails in his hand and put my finger in the mark of the nails, put my hand in his side, I will never believe. After 8 days, his disciples were indoors again, and Thomas was with them. And even though the doors were locked, Jesus came in and stood among them. And he said to them, peace be to you. Then he said to Thomas, hey, bud, put your finger aside. Don't be an unbeliever, but a believer. Thomas responded to him, my Lord and my God. Jesus says, because you've seen me, you've believed, and those who believe without seeing are blessed. Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and may by believing you may have life in his name. Doubting Thomas was not marked as doubting Thomas after this moment. He dealt with his unbelief by a revelation of who Jesus really is as the resurrected one. We know from church history, Thomas went on to actually evangelize what was modern-day India. The reason the gospel came to India is because Thomas moved from doubting Thomas. He dealt with his doubt and says, now the confession of my mouth is, I've seen the resurrected Christ. I've seen him. And what I'm telling you is this. Don't require him to prove himself to you over and over and over again. How's he already proved himself to you? Because if we're going to go into greater things, that means he's going to move us into things that no one has seen accomplished before. Like, it's easy for me to pray for a blind person now because I have seen a blind eye open when I prayed for them. It's a little bit easier because I've seen it already. But let me tell you what, before I entered into that encounter, I was going, oh, sweet Jesus, this is the moment that this person is, all this pressure was there because, like, what? And it wasn't the pressure to perform. Hear me on this. It was the pressure to believe. What do I really seize hold to? What do I really believe that Jesus in this moment, I know he could heal, but he wants to use me in this moment to open a blind eye. I had to deal with my doubt so I could step into the place of belief, and then I was able to see it unfold. What about you? What have you been avoiding because it was too difficult? What have you been avoiding? The thing to be done, you just need to believe that he is who he says he is. Remember what this says. Let us hold fast to our confession of hope, for he who promised is reliable and trustworthy and faithful to his word. What are you putting your faith in? What are you putting your belief in? Him. Him. There used to be this idea that some of the name and claim it stuff, that faith is a force and your words are the containers of the force. I'm sorry, they're not. They're not. He's the container of your force. You're just confessing his confession. I don't create anything, but I'm made in the image of the Creator. And when I confess what the Creator's confessing, creation comes out. Do you hear what I'm saying? Breakthrough. Belief. You okay? This gift that empowers you for later action. Believing him positions you to receive a grace gift that empowers you. Keys to maturity and longevity and fruitfulness is consistency in what you're holding fast to, what you're seizing, what you're confessing daily, the overflow of your heart, the man thinks. We need to come into this place where I'm now in the place where it's no longer my thoughts, but his thoughts. Stewarding your heart, stewarding your mind, stewarding your body into the place of what the Spirit is saying. John 14:1, your heart must not be troubled. Believe in God, talking about the Father, but believe also in me. Here's what I came in through this morning. I got a lot of hope. Got a lot of confident expectation. This weekend I saw God do some stuff where he brought healing to a relationship that I thought was long gone. It's amazing what his grace will do. Your heart must not be troubled. It's not a declaration of shame or guilt. It's not an accusation. If you're not careful, you'll read that and hear accusation. Because I'm feeling trouble in my heart, God must be disappointed in me. No, 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 no. What he's saying is, I never made your heart to be troubled. You're made in my image. My heart, the Father says, is never troubled. Why should your heart never be troubled? Because he is who he says he is. He is the faithful one. He is true. His word never returns back to him without accomplishing what he sent it out to be. His confession is always fulfilled with a yes and an amen. And that's this question, Holy Spirit. What are you saying to me personally this morning? Just ask him, Holy Spirit, what have I seized and held fast to that is not what you're holding fast to? The moment he shows it to you, if Jesus is not holding on to it, let it go. Just confess it. I'd let it go. If you're not holding on to it, Jesus, neither am I. And then ask him, Jesus, but what are you holding on to in my life? What is true about me? True about your love towards me? True about the purpose you created and redeemed me for? What is true about the current circumstance that I might find myself in? What is true? Hold fast to that and turn it into a confession of hope, the confident expectation that the one who's promised me this is faithful always. Receive right now the grace of God for greater faith. Receive the grace right now for greater breakthrough. Receive the grace right now. Let it stir up inside of your heart right now. I just feel this fire. There's actually a couple tornadoes in the room right now. And too often tornadoes are actually identified because in the natural realm they bring destruction. But we've had this prophetic word so many times over this house that there would be a prophetic storm that would come that would look like a tornado where it would pull up the things that were not belong and it would deposit the things that the Father wanted inside of us. When you let it go, the tornado sucks it up and Jesus deals with it. Hope. Hope. Let hope arise. Let faith rise inside of your heart for the impossible. Place of acceleration. I'm going to read this verse and then I'm going to really promise to Abraham. Since there was no one greater to swear by, God took an oath in his own name saying, I will certainly bless you and I will multiply your descendants beyond number. Then Abraham waited patiently, and he received what God had promised. Now when people take an oath, they call on someone greater than themselves to hold them to it. And without any question, that oath is binding. God also bound himself with an oath so that those who received the promise could be perfectly sure that he would never change his mind. So God has given both his promise and his oath. These two things are unchangeable because it's impossible for God to lie. Therefore, we who have fled to him for refuge can have a great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us. This hope is strong, trustworthy, an anchor for our souls. It leads us through this curtain into God's inner sanctuary. Jesus has already gone there for us, and he has become our eternal high priest in the order of Melchizedek. Won't you stand with me? Position your heart to receive. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. The Rhema, living word of God, we invite you to speak. Lord, we confess that we've turned confession into a negative thing instead of confession being what is true and holding fast to it. In this place, we ask for your confession to grow inside of our hearts. Release a prophetic grace for identity of the broken heart. So that you can release your grace for acceleration into the greater things. I declare that we are a people who are called by your name, that we've received a promise, and we will see the fulfillment of your promise to us personally and corporately, so that your kingdom as it comes and your will as it's done, heaven has suddenly invaded earth and it will never go back to the way it was before. We just thank you, Lord, right now. Lord, the grace gift you've given me is a gift of faith, one of the spiritual gifts. I release an impartation for the gift of faith right now in the name of Jesus. Receive it. There it is. confess that you are the confession of the Father, that you are always good, that you will always do what you promise. And we position ourselves now to bring the hope to the nation. In Jesus' name, amen. Somebody give him a shout of praise. Come on.
Thank you so much for joining us as we seek first after God's kingdom and release it to transform lives and cities. If you would like more information about how to grow in the kingdom or connect with Legacy, go to our website, www.legacynb.com.